We're joined now by our legal analyst. Douglas Kamek is a professor of constitutional law at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. He joins us from his office. And Jeffrey Rosen is a professor at George Washington University Law School and legal affairs editor at The New Republic. He's here in our D.C. studio. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Good to be here.
Now, it's been said that Harriet Myers is following an intellectual titan in John Roberts, someone whose legal qualifications for the job were beyond question, many said. Now, that would be a difficult act to follow for almost any nominee, but what does this mean for someone who's never actually been on the bench? Douglas Kamek?
Well, it is a difficult act to follow. John Roberts has an encyclopedic knowledge of the court's doctrine, but Harriet Myers brings something else. She brings several decades of practical experience. She brings some elective experience from local government, and the president had been encouraged to look outside the universe of the usual suspects, and he did exactly that. I think they do share something in common, however. The president has said from the beginning that he wants people who do not have their own political agenda, who do not have a philosophy that may be either liberal or conservative in a political sense. He wants people who are going to be judges, who are going to understand that the philosophy of the law comes from that which Congress writes into it or that is embedded in the Constitution's history and tradition. In this, I think he's found a match for John Roberts and a good colleague.
So the president wants people who are going to be judges, but in this nominee, he's found someone who's never actually served on the bench. How steep a learning curve will she face, Jeffrey?
It appears that some of the greatest justices in Supreme Court history have had no judicial experience, and some of the worst have had no judicial experience. The famous four horsemen who opposed Franklin Roosevelt all had not previously served on the bench. By contrast, the greatest chief justices, Marshall, Hughes, and Taft, and the greatest associate justices, Black, Douglas, Warren, Brandeis, Frankfurter, Jackson, all of these people had never served on the bench. Maybe the closest analogy, it's one that the president suggested, is to people like Chief Justice Rehnquist and Byron White. Rehnquist had just served for 2 years as an assistant attorney general, White for 1 year as a deputy attorney general, and both were seen to have taken to their jobs pretty successfully and gotten up to speed quickly. The cautionary tale, though, is Justice Fortas, who is LBJ's crony, was never escaped the taint of his close association with the president and ultimately had to resign in scandal. So the question of whether Justice Mears would be a Fortas or a Rehnquist or a White is going to be very important in the days to come.
Now, some have argued that there's actually a benefit to having justices who've never served on the bench. Chief among those people is President Bush, who actually made that argument this morning. Before we go on, let's take a listen to what he had to say.
I've come to agree with the late Chief Justice William Rehnquist, who wrote about the importance of having judges who are drawn from a wide diversity of professional backgrounds. Justice Rehnquist himself came to the Supreme Court without prior experience on the bench, as did more than 35 other men, including Byron White.
That was President Bush at the White House this morning when he made the Harriet Myers announcement. Again, he said there's some benefit to reaching beyond the bench, and he pointed to former Chief Justice William Rehnquist. Douglas, is this a fair comparison?
I think it is a fair comparison. I mean, there are some differences. William Rehnquist was serving as head of the Office of Legal Counsel in the federal government, but Harriet Myers is in the White House Counsel's office and for the last 4 years has occupied a space in the White House where she has basically been responsible for the president's daily briefing, for what he reads, how he gets prepared. That requires an enormous sense of relevance and materiality. It requires good judgment. And I think this is one of the things that people who recommend appointing someone from outside the judicial circle say the court needs, a sense of practicality. How their opinions will actually govern people in their corporate or their individual lives, and Harriet Myers may have that.
Jeffrey, what about her skills as a litigator? Would that come into play here at all?
They might well be far more significant even than her White House experience. She had a long time as a commercial litigator, and other justices who have served in the private sector have had important influence in that regard. In the end, this question of the diversity of experience is also tied to the gender question. Of course, she was appointed in part because Sandra Day O'Connor had set a milestone as the first woman justice.
And the president today called her a trailblazer once again.
Very much so. This question of whether Harriet Myers, for example, will satisfy feminist groups merely because of her gender, or whether they'll be more concerned about trying to identify a judicial philosophy, which is not yet evident in her record, raises deep questions of identity politics that were also raised by Justice Clarence Thomas, who, of course, was attacked for not being sufficiently representative of his race.
Well, in trying to suss out her judicial philosophy, she doesn't have the kind of track record of judicial writings that could provide a window into her views. So where else might the committee search for that kind of paper trail?
There was some interesting discussion on the blogosphere already today. People who know her, including a judge on who she dated, claimed that he was confident that she is an originalist, that she believes that the Constitution should be strictly interpreted in light of original understanding. By contrast, others, especially social conservatives who question her nomination, say no, she's far too much of a pragmatic lawyer and therefore will be more like Justice O'Connor and will not be the kind of strict constructionist the president wants.
And Douglas Kamek, since she doesn't have this kind of judicial record, what does it mean for Congress? Will they have to work harder to try to play a bit of a guessing game to sort of figure out what her judicial philosophy really is?
Yes, I think they will be questioning her as closely as they can on her understanding of constitutional doctrine and ideas. Again, of course, they'll be confronted with the answer that she cannot prejudge those matters. So they'll be digging into that 20-some years of experience where she was a managing partner for one of the largest firms in Texas and talking to her references, as it were, as in any other personnel inquiry. It will be harder, but it's in some ways not unlike the nominations that used to occur to the court before the court took up issues like affirmative action and abortion and assisted suicide in days before the court had become as a political center as it has.
Douglas Kamek is a professor of constitutional law at Pepperdine University in Malibu, California. Jeffrey Rosen is a professor at George Washington University Law School here in Washington, D.C. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
And you can read a profile of Harriet Myers and hear more reaction to her nomination at npr.org.